Thank you, Cody. I do need to thank you very much for bailing me out. Technically, I'm terribly challenged, and I ran into difficulty. In my great abilities to organize my life, I managed to lose the little connector that attaches my computer to the projector, and I went out and bought one real hastily last night. In fact, I bought two, and neither of them worked. So I called Cody, and he's bailed me out. Because Cody bailed me out, I had time to sit up here and watch as you came in. And we are incredibly blessed. God has given us something that I don't appreciate, I don't grasp typically. But this morning I've seen the smiles, the hugs, the handshakes, the words of encouragement. There's some of you I know are struggling with great difficulties in their lives. And I see others come to them and hug them, encourage them. What an awesome God that has provided us this community. I probably could go home and not say anything, and you get the message. If you listen to the music that we sang, the songs that were sung, great and marvelous are thy works. Talking about who God is. And then, my God, thou seest me. And it talks about who I am. If you get the bulletin on the very front, it has a scripture out of Matthew 6 talking about seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. That is my sermon. My sermon kind of comes from my side effect of our Sunday school class. We're reading through 1st and now into 2nd Samuel. And I thought it'd be interesting to read 1st and 2nd Kings and compare. And then I read 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And I kind of forgotten about Chronicles. It's relatively boring. You go about 7 or 8 chapters of just names after names after names. He's setting the order of their society, and it means nothing to me, and I can't get a big message out of it. And you can get lost in Chronicles. But it makes up for it in that in Chronicles, when there is something significant, it comes through in the most beautiful verses. I had not noticed that, but there are some incredible scriptures in 1st and 2nd Chronicles. And so a lot of my sermon is going to be coming from 1st and 2nd Chronicles. The Old Testament. I've heard that that there is one primary purpose for the Old Testament. It's to tell us who God is. And then in the process, who I am. But in addition, it gives us some symbolism of what this plan of salvation that God has for mankind to restore us, to reconcile us back into his presence. And we're going to touch a little bit on all three of those aspects as we go through the Old Testament. This title that I am going to use today is a portion, the first portion of a verse. It's the 19th verse of the 22nd chapter of 1 Chronicles. It's David talking to his son Solomon. And you know that this is incredibly important to David because David is preparing to die. He's old, and he knows that he must go and leave this earth. And so he knows that his son is going to take over for him. This is Solomon. And he has a word that he wants to convey to Solomon. And so we know that it's going to be concise and just every bit of it meat for Solomon to listen to and to hang on to. And we can do the same. So I've given this the title to my sermon. Set your heart and soul to seek the Lord your God. That's the message that David gave Solomon. Two things just jump out at me. If you read in our bulletin on that very front, it doesn't give a two-part action there. It just says, seek the Lord, or seek the kingdom of heaven. It doesn't give this, set your heart and soul to seek the Lord your God. That's two steps. Why? David knew that Solomon was going to be tempted with everything that he had been tempted with. And he knew that it was a struggle all the way to the end. And he wants Solomon to finish well. And so he says, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord. There's two steps. Set your heart and soul, and to seek the Lord. Now, to set. There's another phrase that's often used in the Old Testament, and it's, they set the battle in array. What does that mean? That they were getting ready to go to battle, their life was on the line, that they had to have everything in order. They had to have their ammunition ready. They had to have it stockpiled in the right place. They had to be positioned in the right way. They had to be ready to move. And so it was to get an order into your life. Now that's not hard for most people, but for someone who has my organizational abilities, it's hard. That takes a lot of time for me to set my heart and my soul in order and then to carry out the task of seeking the Lord my God. Another thing that kind of stands out to me, I don't know what you have sought after lately. I have the great fortune or the great misfortune to having calves. And storms come and the wind come and it blows the trees down on my fence and my calves escape. And I have to go seek my calves. Now I know exactly what they look like. I can tell them from any calves in the whole county. But I just don't know where they're at. But here, we're going to seek the Lord God. I know where he's at. He's everywhere. I just don't know what he looks like. I don't know him as I need to know him. And that's what David wants Solomon, is to know God, to mimic him, to be as close as he can to becoming him. And so he says, set your heart and your soul. That means your physical life and your spiritual life needs to be set so that you can get to know who this God is. That I got to witness the beauty of the vessels that he has set in you this morning as you came in. We need to put that in this context. And so I'm going to read that whole verse. Now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. This is the 19th verse of 1 Chronicles, 22nd chapter. Arise therefore and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the ark of the covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. Now that, if taken at face value, probably doesn't mean a whole lot to you. You're not going to go out and build a temple as Solomon was going to build. But We are told that our bodies are a temple to God, and we are to build them, and we are to take upon us the name of Jesus Christ so that we can display this beautiful vessels, this Ark of the Covenant, the vessels that God has set aside for this temple. We have similar type of vessels. There's love, there's compassion, peace, and mercy, all gifts that God has for us to put into our temple so we can reflect Him. As we get to know Him, we want to be like Him and convey these beautiful vessels that say whose we are. I'd like to go to the next book. We're going to go to 2 Chronicles in the 19th chapter. I'm not sure, I figured it up and then I've forgotten what it was, but King Jehoshaphat, he's, I think, the great-great-grandson of David. But I'm not positive on that. But let's, verse 2. And Jehu, the son of Hanani, the seer, went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, "Shouldst thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee before the Lord." To set this in context, what has taken place is that the kingdom has been divided. There is the house of Judah and there is the house of Israel. The house of Israel has been led by one king after another king after another king that have been very wicked. But right now, they are led by Ahab, who is the worst of all the kings up to that point. And God has chosen to chastise Ahab. And so he gets the Syrian army and he leads them against the house of Israel. And King Ahab sees this great army and he does the only thing that would make sense to man. He goes and tries to recruit somebody. And he goes to Jehoshaphat, the king of Judah, and says, "Will you join forces with me?" And Jehoshaphat doesn't go and seek the Lord. He doesn't find out what God would have him do. He says, "Sure, my people are your people." And they go to battle. There's a long story behind this, and I'm not going to get into it, but what takes place is Ahab is very uncomfortable about going to war, and so he takes off his royal garments and he puts on common garments to go out to battle. And he gets in the chariot and he's out there hiding in the middle of the battlefield. Jehoshaphat, on the other hand, has his royal garments on and he's out in his chariot. And the king of Assyria, or the commander of the Syrian army, spots Jehoshaphat. And he and his men go converging in on Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat realizes he's in trouble. And he pleads with them to save him. And they realize that this is not the king Ahab that they were after. And said, "Well, we have no argument with you." And they let him go. As it turns out, by accident, by a random arrow, King Ahab was struck in the battle and dies. But Jehoshaphat was nearly killed. And so the seer comes to Jehoshaphat and said, "Shouldst thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord." But, verse 3, "Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God." Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. Judah had had a series of kings that were very human, a little good and a little bad. They would try to serve God, but they were proud. They got lost in the way. They became every bit the human that I have the potential to be. Jehoshaphat came in, and there was a king before him that had set up some idol worshiping. And so, as Solomon had set up temples and groves and stuff to foreign gods in his last days. And Jehoshaphat had taken those down. And he had tried to seek God, but he didn't when Ahab came to him. And so there was wrath found for him. But because he had done that, because he had sought the God, he was forgiven of this mistake. Does he learn the lesson? We find out in the next chapter. It says in the 20th chapter of 2 Chronicles, the third chapter, or third verse. Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim the fast throughout all Judah. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Let's put this in context. What has taken place is that the Moabites and the Ammonites and the people of Mount Seir had joined forces, and they were a huge force. Judah, not so much, because they had just gone through a split where Israel went one way and Judah went the other, and so they were at least half what they used to be, maybe less. And now this three kings are coming in to attack. They have been a nemesis to the children of Israel ever since the children of Israel crossed Jordan. They stood in the way of Israel, the children of Israel. And so now Jehoshaphat is like Ahab. He's overwhelmed. But he goes and he seeks his God. At least he didn't just take matters into his own hands. I don't know about you, but way too often in my life, when stress comes, I don't have time to get myself in order. I haven't set my life properly to seek God, and so I make a quick decision and I go with it. And sometimes God chastises me, and sometimes he forgives me, and sometimes he blesses me. But it's on his mercy and his grace, not my own. And verse 5. Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah in Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court and said, O Lord God of our fathers, art not thou God in heaven? And rulest not thou over all the kingdoms of the heathen? And in thy hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel and gave us it to the seed of Abraham, thy friend, forever? Jehoshaphat knew God. He knows that he's mighty. And he seeks help by asking help. We're going to read on, verse 8. And they dwelt therein and have built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil come upon us as the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for thy name is in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. And now, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, whom thou wouldest not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us to come to cast us out of thy possessions, which thou hast given to thy inheritance, given us to inherit. O our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. And all Judah stood before the Lord with their little ones, their wives, and their children. a sign of meekness, of humility. They fasted and they petitioned God for help. That's how Jehoshaphat sought God. Did God bless him? Yeah. He can't remember the story. But somehow, if I remember right, the people of one group set ambushments in the thickets so that they could catch the children of Israel by surprise. But unfortunately, they got confused and they attacked each other. There were three different groups. They didn't know each other. They were dressed differently, and they attacked the wrong people. And they destroyed everybody in this mayhem. And it was 3 days that the children of Israel hauled away the loot, the bounty of this demise of the three kings. We're going to go to Deuteronomy, and we're going to read a little bit about Moses. Fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, verse 20. But the Lord hath taken you and brought you forth out of the furnace, the iron furnace, even out of Egypt, to be unto him a people of inheritance, as ye are this day. Furthermore, the Lord was angry with me for your sakes, and swore that I should not go over Jordan, and that I should not go in unto that good land which the Lord thy God hath given thee for an inheritance. But I must die in this land. I must not go over Jordan. But ye shall go over and possess that good land. Take heed unto yourselves, lest ye forget the covenant of the Lord your God, which he made with you, and made you and make you a graven image, or the likeness of anything which the Lord thy God hath forbidden thee. For the Lord thy God is a consuming fire, even a jealous God. When thou shalt beget children and children's children, and ye shall have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves and make a graven image or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that ye shall soon utterly perish from off the land whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and ye shall be left few in number among the heathen, whether the Lord shall lead you. And there ye shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood, stone, which neither see, nor hear, nor eat, nor smell. But if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. Then, when thou art in tribulation, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall do obedient unto his, and shall be obedient to his voice, for the Lord your God is a merciful God, he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers, which he sware unto them. God is more merciful than we can comprehend. I hate to think of the times that I have gone wrong and repented and gone wrong and asked forgiveness and gone wrong over and over, and he forgives and he blesses because he loves us. Moses wants the children of Israel to finish well, just as David wanted Solomon to finish well. But Solomon didn't finish well. Many of us don't finish well. But we can, because we can seek the Lord at any point and be found. He can forgive us and return us. We'll go back to 1 Chronicles, 28th chapter, the 6th verse. And he said unto me, And this is David telling the story of Solomon. And he said unto me, Solomon, thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever. I want to stop there. Solomon did build the house of the Lord. And when he did, there was great celebration. And Solomon was given all kinds of acclamation for having completed this house of the Lord. I would ask, what did it cost Solomon for all the gold that was in that temple, for all the silver that was in that temple, for all the stone, the cedar? What did it cost him? How much did he have to pay? The answer is nothing. He had had David store up all the gold and all the silver and all the stone and the wood and all the precious gems. He had had David store up so that it cost Solomon nothing. How much sweat and soil did Solomon have on him from doing all this labor? None. He had workmen. There was craftsmen in abundance at that time that they all gave of their life to build this temple. We have a temple to build in our bodies, to take upon us the name of Jesus Christ. How much does it cost you to be forgiven and be reconciled to God? Nothing. It was paid by our God. How much sweat and dirt do you have to get on you to be made clean? God puts us in families where we have wonderful parents. We have good friends that help us. We have our brothers and sisters that come alongside of us and help us. It doesn't cost us. This plan that God has of reconciling us back to him, it's on him, his mercy. But Solomon got credit for building the temple. Why? He was in charge. He said to say, let's go build a temple. You will get salvation if you build your temple in the name of Jesus, having done nothing but say, let's build a temple to our God that has the beautiful emblems, vessels of love and compassion, mercy and grace, peace and joy. Forgot where I'm at. I'm going to start here at the beginning. And he said unto me, Solomon thy son, he shall build my house and my courts, for I have chosen him to be my son, and I will be his father. Moreover, I will establish his kingdom forever, if he be constant to do my commandments and my judgments as at this day. Now, therefore, in the sight of all Israel, the congregation of the Lord, and in the audience of our God, keep and seek for all the commandments of the Lord your God, that ye may possess this good land and leave it for an inheritance to your children after you forever. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all the hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will forsake thee off, shall cast thee off forever. Now, take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. Here it's saying, seek to know the commandments of God. But that is still to know God, to seek Him, to understand Him, so that we can serve Him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. I'm going to continue on there in verse 11. Thus Solomon finished the house of the Lord and the king's house and all that came into Solomon's heart to make in the house of the Lord and in his own house he prosperously effected. And the Lord appeared to Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer and have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If I shut up heaven and if there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Now mine eyes shall be open and my ears attent unto the prayer that is made in this place. For now have I chosen and sanctified this house, that my name may be there forever, and mine eyes and my heart shall be there perpetually. And as for thee, if thou wilt walk before me as David thy father walked, and do according as all that I have commanded thee, and shalt observe my statutes and my judgments, then will I establish the throne of thy kingdom, according as I have covenanted with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. But if ye turn away and forsake my statutes and my commandments, which I have set before you, and shall go and serve other gods and worship them, then will I pluck them up by the roots out of my land, which I have given them, and this house which I have sanctified for my name will I cast out of my sight, and will make it to be a proverb and a byword among all nations. And this house, which is high, shall be an astonishment to every one that passeth by it, so that he shall say, why hath the Lord done thus unto this land and unto this house? And it shall be answered, because they forsook the Lord God of their fathers, which brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, and laid hold on other gods, and worshiped them, and served them. Therefore hath he brought all this evil upon them. We have to finish well. God knows our hearts. He knows that we're human. He knows that we're going to make bad mistakes. But if we seek him, he will be found of us, and he will bless us. But if we don't, we're going to have our temple torn down. And it will be a hiss and a byword. It will be a, as it says here, if I can find it, a proverb and a byword. I'm going to go to 2 Chronicles, the 15th chapter, first verse. And the Spirit of God came unto Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, hear ye me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, and the Lord is with you while ye be with him. And if ye seek him, he will be found of you. But if ye forsake him, he will forsake you. Now for a long time Israel hath been without the true God, and without a teaching priest, and without law. Asa is the king of Israel. As I mentioned before, there had been a lot of kings of Israel, probably almost three times as many kings over Israel as over Judah, and they were all wicked, Ahab being one of the very worst. I can't remember. I think Ahaz is maybe the grandson of Ahab, but I might be mistaken on that. But in any event, Asa was given the kingdom at a very young age. And he wanted to do what was right because he knew that he was too young to rule well. And so he sought his God. And then and it says, Azariah, who came to talk to Asa, said, "Now for a long time Israel hath been without the true God and without a teaching priest and without law. But when they in their trouble did turn unto the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found of them." But now it's going to go back to before they sought him. And in those times, before they sought God, it says, "But when they in their trouble," verse 5, "and in those times there was no peace to him that went out, nor to him that came in, but great vexation were upon all the inhabitants of the countries, and nation was destroyed of nation, and city of city, and God did vex them with all adversity. Be strong, therefore, and let not your hands be weak, for your work shall be rewarded." And when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Obed the prophet, he took courage and put away the abominable idols out of all the land of Judah and Benjamin and out of all the cities which he had taken from Mount Ephraim, and renewed the altar of the Lord that was before the porch of the Lord. I think that's explanatory, and I'm going to have to hustle. So I'm going to continue on here. Verse 9. "And he gathered all Judah and Benjamin and the strangers with them out of Ephraim and Manasseh and out of Simeon, for they fell to him out of Israel in abundance when they saw that the Lord his God was with him. So they gathered themselves together at Jerusalem in the third month in the 15th year of the reign of Asa, and they offered unto the Lord the same time of the spoil which they had brought, 700 oxen and 7,000 sheep. And they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord their God, the Lord God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul, that whosoever would not seek the Lord God of Israel should be put to death, whether small or great, whether man or woman. And they swear unto the Lord with a loud voice, and with shouting, and with trumpet, and with trump cornet. And all Judah rejoiced with an oath, for they had sworn with all their heart and sought him with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. And also concerning Machah, the mother of Asa the king, he removed her from being queen, because she had made an idol in a grove, and Asa cut down her idol and stamped it and burned it at the brook Kidron. But the high places were not taken away out of Israel. Nevertheless, the heart of Asa was perfect all his days, and he brought into the house of God the things that his father had dedicated and that he himself had dedicated, silver and golden vessels." The point that I wanted out of this reading to make is that God will reward you for seeking. It was a reward for Asa that there was peace in his time. Something that maybe we would like to have in our time. But it was because they sought the Lord. It wasn't that they were great arbitrators of goodness and diplomats that they could send together and work out a peace agreement. It was because they sought the Lord and he rewarded them with peace. I'm going to turn to Daniel, the 9th chapter, and read 10 verses there. "In the first year of Darius, the son of Assarius, I think it is, of the seed of the Medes, which was made king over the realm of the Chaldees, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, understood by books the number of years whereof the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah the prophet, that he would accomplish 70 years in the desolations of Jerusalem. And I set my face unto the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy of them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. I should have stopped a little before that. I want to make a point of how did Daniel seek the Lord? It was by prayer and by asking and pleading. It was by fasting. It was by humility, humbling himself before God. And then he made a confession. I want you to pay attention as I read this next part, because I don't know how long ago, long time ago, I preached a sermon on corporate sin. Sin that groups of people do, such as in our nation, the sin of abortion, or the sin of the breakdown of the family, or the sin of all kinds of mischief that we tolerate in our society. I have not had an abortion. I have not killed anybody. I have not gone out and stolen. And so I don't have to repent of those. Or do I? Corporate sin, there is something about that that it's so easy to look at the finger, put your finger at someone else and look at other people and say they need to repent. But here Daniel repents of a corporate sin. When I preached that sermon, I didn't know that Daniel had done this, and I didn't include that. And so I find it interesting. Verse 5, we have sinned and have committed iniquity and have done wickedly and have rebelled even by departing from thy precepts and thy judgments. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets. And we know that Daniel was one of those prophets. So it wasn't his sin that Israel rejected the prophets. Neither have we hearkened unto thy servants the prophets, which spake in thy name to our kings and our princes and our fathers and all the people of the land. O Lord, righteousness belongeth unto thee, but unto us confusion of faces, as it is this day to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, though all the countries, whether thou hast driven them, because of their trespass, that they have trespassed against thee. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our kings and to our princesses and to our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. To the Lord our God belong mercies and forgiveness, though we have rebelled against him. Neither have we obeyed the voice of the Lord our God to walk in his laws, which we set before us by his servants, the prophets. Not sure that I read that quite right, but when we need to seek the Lord and we are fasting, we need to include the sins that we have committed, but we also need to repent of the corporate sins that our group, whether it be our nation, our church, whatever is brought to your mind, we need to repent of. I'd like to turn to Matthew, the 6th chapter. This is found on the front of your bulletin this morning. And it was not my decision. That was our pastor's, and I want to thank him for it. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall ye eat, or what shall ye drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the thing of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Here, Matthew is telling us what our priority needs to be. And I shouldn't say Matthew because it was actually Christ that Matthew is quoting. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. There is a priority that has to be put on God. And none of us feel like we have idols. But yet, anything that distracts us from having that as our first priority is an idol. And what can some of those idols be? Jesus says it. Take therefore no thought, saying, what shall we eat? We all want security. We want to know that when we go to the cupboard, there's going to be food there. We've had a little experience with the toilet paper not being there. It may happen that the food won't be there. If we let that be our top priority, it becomes an idol. What shall we drink? Or wherewithal shall we be clothed? Our image can become an idol. We have to watch and make sure that God is the top priority and we're seeking Him first. The others are not bad, they're not evil, they're not wicked, unless they become first in our life. Be careful. Acts 17. I'm running out of time. Beautiful verses, but Acts 17, the 24 to 31 you can read. I am going to read this one. It's short. Hebrews 11. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. There are rewards that God gives. As in Asa's life, there was peace found. If we seek God first, there will be rewards available. Verse Nephi 3. And it came to pass that I, Nephi, was desirous also that I might see and hear and know of these things by the power of the Holy Ghost, which is the gift of God unto all those who diligently seek him. This is Nephi wanting to see the dream that his father Lehi had and learn the things that Lehi had learned. And so he's seeking God to learn the mysteries of what his father had found out. Jump down 29. For he that diligently seeketh shall find, and the mysteries of God shall be unfolded unto him by the power of the Holy Ghost, as well in this time as in times of old, and as well in times of old as in times to come. These are some concluding thoughts. I'm not going to read through them. I'll tell you that at the end, I'll backflip to these and leave it up there if you want to take a picture of it or something so you can look at it. I'm going to go on. I would like to leave you with two scriptures. One from Ether 5, verse 41. And now I would commend you to seek this Jesus, of whom the prophets and apostles have written, that the grace of God, the Father, and also the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost, which beareth record of them, may be and abide in you forever. That is the blessing, the greatest reward that we can hope for, is that we can have this peace, this grace abiding in us forever, to the end, so that we finish well. Now, set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. Arise, therefore, and build ye the sanctuary of the Lord God, to bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and the holy vessels of God into the house that is to be built to the name of the Lord. I thank you.